Hello, history-loving podcast family. I am your host, Fish. Welcome to Bite Size History, the show where we look at people or moments from history in 15 minutes or less. Once you've listened to the episode, please subscribe on whatever platform you are using. Also, check out daily content on my Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at History Bite Size. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show. All right, guys, today's episode has a whole lot of names of people groups. I apologize in advance for any names that I butcher. I've said them over and over, but as we learned from my Benedict Arnold episode, I struggle with Ticonderoga. I think I got it right that time. Anyway, let's begin. Ask any child who discovered America, and they will most likely mention Christopher Columbus. Maybe the rhyme comes to mind. In 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. Do you know what the end of the poem says? Columbus sailed on to find some gold to bring back home as he'd been told. He made the trip again and again, trading gold to bring to Spain. The first American? No, not quite. But Columbus was brave, and he was bright. We have Columbus Day to celebrate his achievement. His trip across the sea was certainly incredible. We could do a whole episode on Columbus and his interaction with the Tejano and the whole trip. But today, I want to talk about this idea of the first Americans. Who were the first Americans? How long have they been people on these continents? What sort of civilization did they have? What we're looking at today starts in prehistory. That means that nothing was written down about it at the time, probably because there was no written language. Essentially everything from the beginning of the earth to when people started writing. This varies depending upon what part of the world we're looking at. In the Middle East, the first writings date back to about 5,000 years ago, whereas in the Americas, they didn't start writing until about 2,500 years ago. So much of what I'm talking about is based on archaeological research. The thing about it is, it's not a perfect science. There is no way to definitively say how old something from prehistory is. We can get pretty close. A lot of work has been done to get close based on carbon dating, comparing with other parts of the world, and just general geological research. One of the fascinating ways that the movement of people groups has been tracked is by coprolites. Coprolites is fossilized poop. Conditions have to be just right for fossilization of this to occur, otherwise it completely falls apart and just becomes nutrients for the soil. But the poop that was fossilized, archaeologists could actually pull human DNA from it. They were able to use this to track people with similar DNA and markers within it that could indicate if their ancestors came from Siberia or elsewhere. Finally, one thing to keep in mind is that we do not have all the answers and work continues to be done. In fact, some exciting finds occurred just a year ago in Mexico. So let's go way, way back in time. That was my time machine, in case you didn't know. 33,000 years ago, the world was a very different place. Some plants and animals were bigger than they are now. These are called megafauna. A recent example of that would be elephants. The most common example back then was the woolly mammoth. Humans lived in small groups and were hunter-gatherers. The people moved where the food was. They had not learned how to plant crops or breed and domesticate animals. This made life fragile, since they did not preserve food or have a means to make it themselves. A terrible winter or an awful drought could end in starvation. Historians have known for a while that there were definitely people in Africa, Europe, and Asia at this time. But in July 2020, a pile of animal bones were excavated in Coxcatlan Cave in central Mexico that date back to 33,000 years ago. It appears to have been a place where deer and rabbits were brought to be slaughtered. They even found items that they believe were crude stone tools. Now, it's not entirely sure on that, because it could just be broken pieces of rock, but there's a possibility that they were tools. Archaeologists are still working on this site, but if this evidence is confirmed, then it puts humans in America more than 15,000 years sooner than other archaeological evidence. 15,000 years ago, we know that there were people all across North America. We can trace their genetic origins to Siberia. Two possibilities have been theorized as to how they got to America. For a long time, many believed it was by way of the Bering Land Bridge. Currently, this is a stretch of water between Russia and Alaska. The water depth is about 160 feet. Now, during the Ice Age, water levels were much lower, so it may have been that land was exposed for thousands of years so that people could just walk across and then eventually migrate south. The other possibility for how people came from Siberia was by boat. During some of the Ice Age, there were most likely an impassable ice floe covering the Bering Land Bridge. But maybe travelers could have gone along the edge in crude rafts. Either way, they made it to modern-day Alaska. From there, they moved south and spread across the continent. As time passed, society began to develop. The people learned how to grow and use corn around 10,000 years ago. We believe it originated in southern Mexico and expanded from there. That, along with squash and beans, made permanent settlements possible. These three crops were known as the Three Sisters. The growth of them together indicates a remarkable understanding of agriculture. According to the Food Literacy Center, this planting technique is ingenious. Developed by the Native Americans, this technique allows maize, or corn, squash, and beans to be planted with strategic proximity to support one another's growth. Seeds for each crop are buried in flat-top mounds of soil. Corn is planted in the center, while mounds for squash and beans encircle it. The beauty is in seeing nature take its course, as each crop plays a vital role. The stalk of the corn acts as a crutch to support the climbing beans. Beans convert sunlight into nitrogen, emitting it into the soil. The squash detour the sunlight from promoting weed growth, its leaves providing shade that help the soil retain moisture, and the sharp vines repelling pests. These plants grow together in perfect harmony, sustaining the foundation of population centers. Thousands of years passed. Just as in other parts of the world, these groups were developing their own identity and unique cultures. As the people spread, they adapted to their surroundings. Those in the Northwest built long log homes. Groups in the Southwest made structures of stone and mud. The Eastern woodland folk built wigwams, which were small huts of interwoven sticks, grass, and bark. The teepee, which is most often associated with Native Americans, was used predominantly in the Great Plains region. This was because cultures there continued to maintain the hunter-gatherer lifestyle and follow the bison herds. Every group developed religions, artwork, societal rules. They made alliances with other tribes and traded products and ideas. I can't go into detail about every nation that formed, so this is just a very brief highlight of the people on the American continents. One quick note as we move closer in time. The way we denote time is a cultural construct. Different cultures have different calendars. The prevailing one that we use to this day comes from Christian culture. We have BC, which means before Christ, so anything before about 2,000 years ago. The dates increase farther in time from that point. So 100 BC is 2,100 years ago. 2,000 BC is 4,000 years ago. Then there is AD, which is anything from about 2,000 years ago to the present. AD is short for Anno Domini, which means in the year of our Lord. Over the last few decades, a shift has occurred to how we label time, to be more inclusive of people groups beyond Christianity. BC is now BCE, or before Common Era, and AD has become CE, or Common Era. All the dates have stayed the same, just the labeling of them is different. So let's get to our timeline. The Inuits formed around 2000 BCE. They were actually recent migrants from Siberia. The Olmecs lived from 2000 BCE to 400 BCE. They developed hieroglyphic writing and calendars. The old copper culture around the Great Lakes discovered different ways of fishing and boat building. From 800 BCE to 200 BCE, the Shavan, I could be saying that wrong, made advances in pottery and weaving. From 300 CE to 900 CE, the Mayans thrived and made strides in astronomy, calendars, math, and writing. The Teotihuacans had a large urban center and built pyramids to the sun and moon from 450 CE to 750 CE. 1100 to 1450, the Anasazi cave dwellings were formed in parts of modern-day Arizona, New Mexico, Utah, and Colorado. Now, I recently visited a recreation of these in Manitou Springs, Colorado. They were impressive. It was just a small example of them. One thing I noticed was the doorways. They were surprisingly small. One of the biggest cliff dwellings in this time period had more than 500 rooms. From 1200 to 1532 CE, the Incas thrived in modern-day Peru. They developed sophisticated and efficient organizational and administrative structures. The Disney movie Emperor's New Groove borrows from their culture. Around the same time in Mexico, from 1345 to 1521, the Aztecs were making their mark with a militaristic empire. You may notice that the Incas and Aztecs went out of style around the same time. We may not know the reason that other civilizations disappeared, but we can definitively say these two people groups were wiped out by Spanish conquerors. This seems like a great time for a word from our sponsor. Moving on! In the modern-day United States, Midwest, and Northeast, mound-building societies existed from 3500 BCE to about 1600 CE. These nations had some sort of hierarchy with an elite group at the top and everyone else below them. Literally, they commanded hundreds of peoples to essentially build big hills for the elite to live on. Smaller mounds were also used as a burial site. The biggest of these was at Cahokia, which is near modern-day Collinsville, Illinois. I have family that lives near there. At its zenith in 1100 CE, the population was 20 to 30,000 with over 120 mounds. A population that size in North America would not be reached again until 1780s Philadelphia. You can still go to Cahokia today and see the hills that were built. It is near the Mississippi, Missouri, and Illinois rivers. Cahokia served as a trading hub for communities from the Great Lakes to the Gulf Coast. It, along with so many before them, were truly magnificent examples of civilizations. Hundreds of nations and people groups in the Americas existed beyond those that I've mentioned. Ones like the Abenaki, Arapaho, Chickasaw, Creek, Kansa, Munsee, Omaha, Ottawa, Potawatomi, Shawnee, Winnebago, and Wyandot, and many, many more. And yet 500 years later, many of these groups are gone or relegated to small chunks of land called reservations. I don't have time to get into all the details of how that happened over hundreds of years, but it began with Europeans like Christopher Columbus. The rise, expansion, and fall of civilizations is generally because of one group thinking they are superior or better than another group. This allows them to be treated differently. I'm sure this was the case with some of the nations that disappeared before Europeans arrived. But the purpose of this episode is to point out that the people that lived in the Americas for thousands of years were just that, people. They were not savages or subhuman. They may not have had the same iron tools or other civilizations, but that did not make them less human. This was not how Columbus thought, nor the other conquerors that would follow him. He described the natives as primitive, innocent, without reason like beasts, and cowardly. He talked about how they were naked and did not have weapons. The day Columbus met the Taíno, the very day, he wrote in his journal, "They should be good servants and intelligent. For I observed that they quickly took in what was said to them, and I believe that they would easily be made Christians, as it appeared to me that they had no religion." Columbus immediately saw opportunity among these people that were different from him and that he described as less than. He immediately made a judgment. Thus began the European conquest of America. Now I realize that a lot had to be left out in the production of this episode. There is no way to cover 30,000 years of history. But hopefully, this has got you thinking, and now you can go do your own research. What things do we have now that came about because of prior civilizations? Do people have the right to possess others' lands and resources if they think it can be put to better use? What is another way Europeans could have interacted with the people they met in the Americas? Listeners, thank you for joining me once again on this podcast adventure. Please like and subscribe to Bite Size History on whatever platform you are using, and share with your friends and family. You can also connect with me through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at History Bite Size. Until next time, keep pursuing knowledge.